note this. So prepare yourselves for a magnificent revelation. It's coming right now. Well, almost right now. Soon. All right, here it is. Are you ready? I came up with this all by myself. I believe with all my heart that power corrupts people. Yeah, that was a little bit of a joke, people, because this is an obvious fact. Power corrupts, and as they say, absolute power corrupts absolutely with humans, not with God. When you send people as representatives to Washington, D.C., or you send an elected official, or you elect a man as, let's say, oh, I don't know, the President of the United States, things change when they get into the halls of power. They begin to feel that they are no longer servants of the people, but now they are special and they are distinct from everyone else. And people in power begin to conduct themselves as greater and holier than thou, than thee and thine. And so this is certainly the case with Nebuchadnezzar. And history repeats itself every time somebody gets into the seat of power. It's no longer, what can I do? Like, I'm offered these term limits in our government. You've got to have term limits. Otherwise, these people get there and they know they're going to be there forever. And they get comfortable, and it's all about keeping what they have. It's all about nurturing their position. And so you work no longer for the people, but to maintain your celebrity and your free haircuts, your free health care, your limousine, the airplane at your disposal. The trappings of power are so seductive. Even on smaller scale, the trappings of the world capture us. We're not above it. We're not above being seduced. It started in the Garden of Eden. The fruit looked good. It looked succulent. It was desirable to the eye. And it made you feel all warmish inside. And anytime you at work, you get a promotion, right? You feel special. Here's the amazing thing about God. Listen to this. God is so amazing because he has so much power that he's the ultimate sovereign of the universe. And that behooves him to behave diplomatically and lovingly because he can destroy all of us. Now, that's the difference between humans and God. When humans get power, when they have the ability to destroy people, it makes them want to destroy people just as an evidence of their power. Prove you're so powerful. And they go in and they take their armies and they send them into foreign countries because they can. That's the rationale behind many politicians. They are behind world leaders, especially these terrible rogue leaders in the Middle East and elsewhere. Even Putin in Russia. I'm going to do it because I can. And it's a flexing of the muscle. And it's no different than a playground bully. The bigger guy with the muscles, he has to, you know, show himself to be the best and the strongest, and he bullies the other people, and he does it for his own self-worth because he has no self-worth unless he lords it over other people. It's a self-worth issue. I told you the story in one of my newsletter how Arnold Schwarzenegger used to, when he traveled to bodybuilding competitions, he would show up at a competition in a loose shirt and easy flowing clothes because he knew he was Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was the best. The guys who knew they weren't the best, they were the ones posing. They were the ones preening. They were the ones in the tight clothes trying to make themselves look better than they were. Arnold didn't have to do that. He was the best. God is the best. And he's a benevolent dictator, if you will. He is the dictator. That's what his name means. His name means subjector, actually. L is subjector. And so thank God. Aren't you glad he's a good God? In that the more power you give him, the easier he becomes. He knows he's the best. He sits there on his throne. I'm the best. I mean, a lot of us think we're God. This is the only being in the universe who is God. And he can sit back in his chair and say, I'm freaking God. And that calms him down, see? Because he has no competitors. It calms him down. But these people like Nebuchadnezzar or Obama, they have to maintain their power because they know that they're not so great. They're not sovereigns. They're not deities. They're not supremes. They're not emperors. They may think they are. So they have to fight for it, and they have to belittle other people in order to maintain their position. And some of them will send armies into other worlds, and they will surround themselves with luxury, build kingdoms. They'll isolate themselves. That's what Adolf Hitler did from his bunker, the Reichstag in Berlin, and Berchtesgaden in the mountains. He would fortify himself with walls, with people, with yes men. Even Elvis did that. Elvis had his posse. And the reason Elvis died on the toilet of a drug overdose was because he was insulated and isolated. And this was what power will do to you. You can't trust anybody anymore because everybody wants the guy who's at the top of the hill. All these dynamics are in play in politics and in religion with humanity. Religion and politics, it's not, the church isn't above it. The church where some of you may be going to church, God help you. I'm trying to get all of you out of church. I don't know what you're doing there. But politics aren't removed from there. People want to get to the, he's the leader of the youth ministry. Ooh, he's the leader of the worship team. Whatever the hell that is. I got a problem with worship teams. That's for another time. Power corrupts. You have to protect it. You want more of it. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, except for God. Now, strangely enough, in Ephesians 5:1, Paul tells us to become imitators of God. It's like, oh, is that all I have to do? Can I start Monday? I'd like to enjoy the weekend. And yet we are exhorted to be imitators of God. So look at us. We have all this power. We have the Spirit of God inside of us that's someday going to be unleashed upon the universe, not to destroy it, but to bless it, because we're going to be like God in that aspect, and that the more powerful we are, the more benevolent, loving, and graceful we're going to be. And we're learning how to be that right now, right here, because in the coming era, we're going to deal with malevolent beings who have evil designs for us. We're going to be dealing with Satan. We're going to be dealing with his minions. We're going to be dealing with sovereignties, authorities, world mights of wickedness. And in order to train us to deal with those, we have to deal with idiots and liars and cheats and morons now in this life. And so in the future world, in our coming role as sovereigns of the universe, yes, I said sovereigns of the universe, we're going to be bringing a faraway antagonistic universe back to God. And we're going to do that not by, well, maybe we will. You know, we might be pounding people once in a while, but it will be for their own good. But for the greater part, we will have a ministry of grace, love, and peace. And we get to practice that now. That's why we're to love our enemies. I prayed for my enemies last night. I couldn't sleep. I was up till 2, and the reason was I went to a party yesterday, and somebody offered me coffee. I said, you want some coffee, Martin? I said, no, I didn't want it, but I said yes, and I drank this giant thing of coffee. Why I did that, I don't know, so I was up all night. Not all night, I was up till 2. So anyway, these are some of the most precious times, because God used that time to have me settle down and pray for those persecuting me, pray for my enemies, and I did. Do you want me to name you? Do you want me to tell you who I prayed for? I'm not going to do that. But it was a quiet time. You know, once in a while, I get down on my knees. I don't do that like as a habit, like this is the way, this is a required prayer pose. But I did it because I just wanted to be closer to the floor, you know, while I was praying for these people. So, as I think I've told you before, I think nighttime is a great time to pray for your enemies. You get more agitated, irritated during the day. And when the darkness falls and you're alone, you're quiet in your room, you realize how vulnerable you are to all the things that have overtaken those who are vexing you. You realize that there before the grace of God go I. Somehow at night you feel more connected to the common humanity, and then you begin to feel sympathy empathy for your persecutors, those who tell lies about you, and you know that they're miserable. Obama's miserable. You see how that guy's aged? His hair's turning gray in office. That happens to every president. We're going to see tomorrow, or maybe Monday, how Nebuchadnezzar aged in office. People who hide things from themselves, people who are not true to themselves, people who are in states of denial. And there are many people like that in the world. You remember what Jesus told Paul on the road to Damascus? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. What did he mean by that? I think King James says the pricks. It means that Paul's conscience was pricking him even while he was Saul the Pharisee. And he knew something was wrong. He knew that something about his power was corrupting him. This is on a subconscious level. I think many leaders on a subconscious level know something is screwy. And I think many religious people, many even masters of divinity in positions of power in colleges, universities, even while they're telling me I'm a false teacher and a false prophet, something about my message, our message of grace and peace, success of the cross, something about that pricks them because they know deep down in their spirit that it's right. Something is telling them that. And yet there are all these protection, all these layers. And I'm going to tell you tomorrow about Babylon. Intended to do it today. The protection of Babylon. I told you that authority protects itself. Power protects itself. Nebuchadnezzar built walls that you will not believe. There are more than one kind of walls in this world. There are walls made of mortar and brick, and there are walls made inside the soul, inside the being, iron curtains of the soul to protect you from hurt, from pain, from other people touching your life. You ensconce yourself in parapets and enclosures of your own making. God is in the business of breaking these down because he wants us to be open people. And all these leaders, they're way behind that. You see how long it's going to take, what a long, hard pounding it's going to take for these leaders to come to a realization of the truth. We're going to see it with Nebuchadnezzar because he's the poster boy. But you too, he's breaking down our walls, our protections, and he's treating us as the thing we are, vessels of clay, being broken. But as the woman who came to our Lord and Savior, her vessel was broken and out of it poured the most beautiful perfume. That's we are, dispensers of life, dispensers of grace, but to be that, we must first be broken.